Hi, Elizabeth Teal. Welcome again to KABU.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Elizabeth Teal is the newly elected president of the Portland Association of Teachers. The old Mole Show has interviewed Elizabeth when she taught at Portland's Madison High School, and she's also taught throughout the district, in fact, mostly at middle school. She taught English. Elizabeth was also in every school, a union activist, became vice president of the union, and is now the president. Elizabeth Teal, the Portland schools are now in session, nearly all through online distant learning. That in so many important ways greatly differs from in-location group learning. We're going to discuss what this all means, especially for teachers, for teaching, and for critical, active, often group learning, much more difficult online than where kids are, in fact, interacting with one another and learning from another and having social activities with one another and talking about school. The unions become very important for helping the district and the teachers adjust to distance learning. First of all, Elizabeth, tell us about the letter of agreement between the Portland Public Schools and the union, and about the whole process of creating distant learning schools and structuring them so that the students, still very young people, most children, some as young as 6 years old or before, how to help them feel good about learning and good about the relationships with their teacher and with other children. It's hard to replicate that online.
Yeah, thanks for that question. So first of all, you're absolutely right. Distance learning is very different than in-person learning in lots of ways. And I think it's important to remember that we aren't doing distance learning because it's a better model for teachers or a better model for students. We're doing it because we need to protect public safety. I mean, it's been a really hard transition, I know, for families and students and certainly for educators. And one of the things that unions get to do is sit down with the district and talk about our working conditions moving forward, and things are just totally different in a distance learning environment. So some of the things we've talked about around our MOA, or Memorandum of Agreement, around working this fall, are acknowledging what it actually takes to run distance learning classrooms in a way that, like you said, that's engaging and motivating for students. I mean, it's just totally different. So one of the things we know is it takes a lot of time to create online lessons, that teachers aren't able to just use the lessons and projects and activities that we've used in physical classrooms. Things have to be totally rethought and then created into a totally different format. But we also know that a lot of teaching isn't just about delivering information. It's about making connections between the students and the educators, and also between students. And we know that takes a lot of time. And so what we've heard from educators is that it's just crucial to have the time to reach out to students and their families. Families are in a really different position right now in terms of having to be involved in their students' education. In terms of giving students feedback on their work, teachers can't just look over a student's shoulder and comment. You've got to do each one of those communications individually. And it's just been really important to educators to be able to have the time to do the things that can make distance learning personal and meaningful and motivating to every student.
In your discussion with the district, what are the particulars of gaining both the time and the structure and the developing the expectations for students? It'll just take time to acclimate them to this whole new system and also to get to know one another. I suspect that the first couple of weeks really have to be spent to be able to sort of create relationships between the kids, among the kids, I mean, and getting them to feel good about being able to relate in that way. How is the union approaching those questions?
That's exactly right. Well, we know, especially in this pandemic and in this uprising across our country to address racial injustice, the heart of learning is about making connections, forming relationships, and understanding how what we learn in school applies to our real lives. And that has always been true, but it is true now more than ever. And so I'll say in Portland Public Schools, the first 2 weeks of school have been called the soft start. And the purpose of this time for every classroom has been to make sure that all of our students are accounted for and have the ability to log in and understand the systems, because like you said, it is all brand new to students and parents and educators, and it's a lot to get used to. So the soft start has been a time to emphasize those relationships. But we know that moving forward into like the regular academic year, relationships are still the most important thing, and making sure that learning is meaningful is still the most important thing. And we especially know that under distance learning, for most students, the things that motivate them in school aren't just receiving information, but it's all those interactions and the ability to work with other people and to look at other people's faces and reactions and gauge their own communication by how the course of a discussion goes. And everything is different in terms of that. So educators are finding incredible creative ways to engage students, to keep them interacting with one another, and to make learning relevant. And that is one of the things that is super important to educators in Portland that I hear from, is making sure they have the flexibility with curriculum to make sure that they are responsive to the kids that they have in their classes.
Yeah, that makes the union really important, doesn't it? Teachers talking to teachers and discussing their experiences and what they've tried and what works and how you relate to kids in this new environment, it seems to me that's crucial to the development of all the teaching staff in the school. And in fact, it can't be done from some bureaucratic center saying, get together whatever. You have to have all these relationships that the union has, right? Because you have steward systems, you have all sorts of people working together, thinking about the schools.
That's exactly right. And again, it's always been the case, but it is true now more than ever that understanding what works in classrooms, that understanding has to come from educators and students who are in those classrooms seeing how things work. So educator voice and decision making is crucial, and it's one of the foundational goals of our union or any union, is to make sure that the workers have power to make decisions about how to make the work go the way it's supposed to.
This is your Old Mole Variety Hour on Cable Radio 90.7 FM Portland. The Old Mole explores the struggle, mostly by working people who are the great majority, to create an egalitarian, caring, democratic, sustainable society. I'm Bill Resnick, talking today to Elizabeth Teel, the next president, now sitting recently, the Portland Association of Teachers, who are standing and walking and struggling. After 16 years of teaching both in middle and high schools. So one thing I wanted to ask about, but we really don't have time, the schools have always provided a nutritious meal, and Portland Public Schools has tried hard, a nutritious meal to kids, many of them probably their most important meal of the day, with, of course, snacks in the morning for young kids and sometimes after-school programs. It's really important, it seems to me, that the schools do that. Is that working out well? What's your sense?
Yeah, well, starting in the spring and continuing to a much greater extent this fall, Portland Public Schools has been providing meals to students. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but they have been providing breakfast and lunch for students to pick up at school sites in numbers far greater than even what they typically serve to students when it's on site. So there's a huge need in the community, and the nutrition workers of Portland Public Schools have been out at site every day giving food to families to make sure that kids have a nutritious breakfast and lunch and food for the weekend as well.
Yeah, the public schools are so important for, in fact, most working-class families.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, some years ago we did an interview on an unprecedented, not just in Portland, but in the country, unprecedented, a Portland Public Schools union, a PPS union contract that gave teachers a great deal of room for team teaching, for collaboration, for developing more engaging curriculum, more enriching curriculum for active learning, for students examining issues, developing solutions. That, in contrast to teaching, often demanded by our business community, in quotes, and conservative legislators that focused on improving taking tests and the test scores. In contrast, teachers want to educate kids to contribute them to them becoming active learners and not force them to become test-taking machines. I wonder what's happened after that contract that you won. It was really a heroic struggle to gain more control over teaching methods and the things kids read and experience. I wonder what's happened to that over the years, and what is the impact of the distance learning on some of those great advances?
First of all, it is absolutely the case, and no educator comes into the field of education in order to help students do better on tests. So much of what we know is important for the growth and development of children is not something that you can capture on a standardized test, and it never will be. And so it's the wrong measurement of what a successful school looks like, what a successful student looks like. And we know that standardized testing was designed to and continues to rank kids in a way that reproduces racial inequity, and it does harm. So, educators believe that real education is about empowering students, helping them to develop their strengths and to be motivated and inspired to be active participants in the world around them, as well as to be successful in the things that they endeavor to do. And so much of that does not show up in a test. So it is crucially important to educators that we have, yes, we need to make sure that students are learning the important skills that schools and educators are certainly equipped to teach them and support them with, but we need to be able to do so in a way that is relevant to our students, that's motivating to them, and that connects with the things that they find important and that, honestly, most adults find important in the world. And standardized tests just don't touch so much of what we know is most important.
Does the pandemic have an impact on forms of teaching?
It has, and actually, this is a really interesting question because there's been some really different things happening. So one thing that's happened during the pandemic is that many standardized tests have not been viable to do. So Oregon did not do state testing in the spring because students weren't in physical schools. And colleges in California, University of California colleges, stopped requiring the SAT and the ACT, not only because of the pandemic, but because acknowledging the role that they've played in racial discrimination in their admissions process. And so there is this movement to acknowledge that standardized tests right now are pretty hard to run, and the value of them is very much in question. And so there's this possibility of stepping away from that. And at the same time, there's a force moving in the opposite direction, which is, we're already learning online. Why not just standardize it, do it as pods, do it as modules? There's been a big push for many years from the high-tech industry to reduce learning to modules and things that you could sit in front of a screen and take in. And educators know that that's not what good education looks like. It is certainly not what the wealthy would choose for their own kids when you talk about computer-driven education or standardized education. So we're at this moment, I think, with the pandemic of choosing a path. And we've got to think about what our values are around public education and make sure that we are doing everything we can in this moment to push for the future that we want to have and that we envision and that we need for our students, and not allowing corporate interests to take advantage of the chaos of this moment when everything is being reinvented.
Elizabeth Theo, before we end the interview, I want to say that in preparing for this interview, in thinking about it, I came to realize, and I'm sure many parents came to realize, that teaching is a a great skill. It's not something that people can just pick up and do. And the teachers who really master the art of teaching, it's an art and a skill, they are a great societal treasure because they can bring forth a new generation of great teachers that contribute to the development of thinking people, thinking and caring people. Elizabeth, you get the last word, and then I'll sign off.
Thanks, Bill. You know, I'll just say educators want so badly to be back in physical spaces with students and cannot wait until it is safe to do so. And so collectively, we need to do everything we can to get to the point where the pandemic is not stopping us from being together safely. But it seems like that's a long way off. Teachers are going to incredible lengths right now to make sure that students have the best possible experience in the conditions that we're facing.
Elizabeth Teal, President of the Portland Association of Teachers, thanks for talking to us and in working to build a school system that Portland students, teachers, parents, all of us deserve and need. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bill. You too.